Next up on The Old Mole, we have Jan Hawken talking with Winona LaDuc about the fight against Enbridge Energy's Line 3 pipeline in Minnesota. LaDuc is executive director of Honor the Earth and an economist and environmental activist. They discuss why direct action is so vital to the struggle right now and how activists from other regions can support the resistance there. Jan?
Welcome to KABU, Winona LaDuc. You're in northern Minnesota now with other activists on the front lines of this longstanding battle against Enbridge Energy Corporation and their plan to go ahead and build this massive new pipeline, Line 3, carrying tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada, through your region. We'll be talking today about nonviolent direct action and why it's so critical in this fight. But can we start with what's happening now with water protectors on the line of the construction site?
Yeah, so Anine, bonjour, it's Winona. Thanks for calling in. And as I was just telling you, there's a, it looks like DNR officers are going down to my lodge, which is on the banks of the Mississippi River. You know, it's a prayer lodge. We had it up there before the pipe, before the proposed Line 3 put a stake in the middle of it. It's been cordoned off, but we'll see. But basically, just to give you a sense of the lay of the land, this is where we're half water and half land up here. Got a lot of wild rice, got a lot of water creatures, a lot of fish, a lot of ducks. Where the wild things are, a center of biodiversity. We got wolves, we got bears, we got otters. And we have Enbridge, which is the third largest corporation in Canada, the largest pipeline company in the world. And they're intending to shove this pipe down our throats during a pandemic. We fought them for 7 years in the courts and in the regulatory process, didn't miss a beat, you know, jumped through every hoop, did every backflip, submitted any piece of paper, drove thousands of miles, testified in like really weird conditions, like you got 2 minutes on the phone maybe to say something, you know, totally insane. And then when they approved the final line, we all filed a lawsuit, including the Department of Commerce. Joining with our tribes, White Earth and Red Lake, the tribes that have been fighting this the hardest, and now Mille Lacs Reservation. There's 7 Ojibwe reservations in the north, and not all of them are affected by the pipe, but those 3 are particularly impacted. And we filed a lawsuit to overturn the certificate of need, because everybody knows that you don't need any more tar sands oil and that the oil market has flattened and that they're bailing out of the tar sands. And then second thing we did is seek to overturn their environmental impact statement done by the state. And then we also filed federally because there was no federal environmental impact statement. We said y'all you didn't see the impact of oil on Lake Superior, fifth of the world's water, didn't check on any alternatives, proposals like no pipe, that'd be a one proposal, and didn't look at climate change. That'd be a problem since this is the equivalent of 50 new coal-fired power plants. So we have confidence that the state and the federal courts will prevail. In the meantime, Enbridge is trying to get the pipe in before we get to court. And so they're headed for 22 river crossings. We're stationed at the Mississippi, at the Red River, the Little Red River. And you know, we expect some more camps to unfold to protect our water in the Mississippi and the Crow Wing, you know. But there's been 44 people arrested so far, probably some more arrests today. We expect a mass, some more arrests on the weekend. You know, this is a pipeline project that shouldn't happen. And it's sad that we got to this point where, you know, we're all standing out here and it's, you know, 2 degrees out or 10 degrees out. And we're standing facing a line of police, you know, protecting a Canadian multinational. So they're trying to put the pipe in before we get to court. When we get to court, we expect kind of the same outcome as Dakota Access and Keystone, which is no. And we're going to fight them all the way. We're going to fight them all the way.
There are many fronts to this struggle. Can you speak to nonviolent direct action as a tactic and why it's so critical there now? There are clearly many strategies that water protectors have pursued in resisting this project, but why is direct action literally putting bodies on the lines of the construction site important?
Well, because we've exhausted our legal recourse, you know, and so we're in this place where, you know, the thing is it was super ironic because the day that the permits were approved, the water crossing of permits were approved by Governor Walz of Minnesota, we could say other people approved it, but it's his hand. He's got the blood on his hands for this one. He approved the water crossings. The next day, Governor Widener Whitmer, I think you call it, of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, did not approve the permits. In fact, revoked the easements for Enbridge under the Straits of Mackinac, noting that two 50-year-old pipes under the Straits of Mackinac got hit by anchor a couple times. That was too much risk. So she invoked what's called the public trust doctrine to not approve a pipeline. In the meantime, Governor Walz overlooked the public trust doctrine and instead just decided to blow through. Totally, you know, wronged for Native people, totally wrong for future generations. And so we're left with no recourse except for standing in front of equipment right now, trying to slow them down from the damage that they are unfurling. And it's, you know, it's the worst thing to see. It's violent as hell. It looks like it. It feels like a rape. That's what it feels like. You know, and so you're witnessing a rape by a Canadian multinational that's protected by the police. And you know, we're standing, we're doing our best. I got cited. I didn't get arrested yet. I expect, you know, to be arrested imminently. You know, they're jerks. And it's a pandemic. We call it the Pandemic Pipeline Project. So, you know, you can support us. You know, I direct Honor the Earth. We do educational and outreach work. You know, if y'all want to support us, www.honorearth.org. You know, we work with a lot of other groups that are up here on the grassroots level. And, you know, you can support that. And, you know, you're from Colorado if you're listening to this and you know how to winter camp. You know, this is some beautiful winter camping up here. And, you know, you could also come join us. Take your, you know, since you're in a pandemic, you can't go to work anyway.
Well, we're from Oregon, but we don't know the cold.
Oh, you guys
like
can
you
toughen
do,
up, but, right? I forgot you're from Oregon. Yeah.
That's right. Well, what are some of the lessons from Standing Rock? You and other water and land protectors from Honor the Earth were very involved in the DAPL struggle there. What's important for allies to remember or to learn as they do think about joining you there as well as supporting you in these other ways?
Bring warm clothes.
Okay, that's your
that's
basics.
A, that's a Minnesota statement, bring more clothes. If you're thinking of coming out, bring more clothes. Don't bring us bottled water, you know.
Are there places for people to camp?
There are places for people to camp, and we expect there will be more places. I mean, first of all, you got 300 miles of pipe that hasn't been built, right? Second of all, the place that we're fighting over is the place where there's all kinds of resorts, hotels, Airbnbs, cabins, and camping. You can come out here, station yourself, and then you can get a place. There's 4,200 pipeliners that moved in. And so that's a little problematic in terms of getting some hotel rooms, but my son got a hotel room. And then you could come out and camp. Yeah. Our camp north of Palisade, our Water Protector Education Center, does have a few places for people to stay where, you know, yurts and some winter tents, but there's no point in staying just there because there's another, you know, they probably got in about 5 miles of pipe. They got 300 miles to go and they're focused on the water crossings. So if you want to come defend the program, you know, you could look at our map on welcomewaterprotectors.com. Welcome Water Protectors.
Yeah, we'll post the link to that. And so there are instructions for how people can come and support this in a responsible way, and that the water protectors there are playing an important leadership role in organizing that. In closing, Louise Erdrich, the novelist from Minnesota, said that this is not just another pipeline. And I think you're saying also that there is a lot at stake in this struggle, not only about indigenous rights and fighting the fossil fuel industry, but in building a sustainable economy. You're an economist and your work at Honor the Earth includes a different vision of a rational, humane, and just economy. Could you say a little about that?
Yeah, I just got out of my hemp meeting. You know, I'm in the middle of working with, you know, I mean, Winona's hemp and Anishinaabe agriculture, 5 years growing fiber hemp. And I'm talking to guys in North Dakota, and our interest is in building an intertribal hemp cooperative working with the materials economy. Fiber hemp for canvas, since the word canvas comes from cannabis, clothing, hemp.
It's a wonderful product that's very versatile.
Yeah, hempcrete, bio, you know, fibers, all of it. So that's what we're interested in. Like, you know, that's the thing about it is that I don't know why the state of Minnesota wants the last economy. They got a playbook from the 19th century of colonialism that's not going to work anymore. We're done. You know, we need the 21st century economy if we want to survive. So I'm on that plan, you know. And we're doing hemp and solar energy. We got 8th Fire Solars installing solar thermal panels and did an installation yesterday. Reduces about 20% of your heating bill, although Oregon, you're a little bit foggy. But in the northern plains, it works good. And so we're working on and doing a bunch of solar installs. We're ready up for the next economy.
There are also lessons from the front lines of this struggle, not only a prefigurative vision through the organizing there, but also the process of developing alternatives.
I don't even call it alternatives. I just call it the just transition, because it's not even an alternative. Yeah. This is like dumb. This is, you know, this is the next economy, right?
Right. We should retire that term.
Yeah, because that makes it sound like, I mean, what is conventional agriculture? Something they've been doing since World War II, right?
Yes. Well, our spirits are with you in this struggle. There is so much at stake. We hope to bring you support from here in Oregon in the many ways you list on your website. We'll check those out, including hopefully joining Water Protectors on the front lines.
Thank you for your interest, Kabu.
Thank you.
My love to Oregon. Sorry, for a minute I thought you were in Colorado, but I do know you're in Oregon. Thanks. Thanks all.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is Jan Hocken talking today with Winona LaDuc about the fight against Line 3 in Minnesota.
Georgia, the whole day through, just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my